Welcome to Suffolk Matters, where all of Suffolk County meets the men and women of Suffolk AME. News, opinions, and insights you won't hear anywhere else. Here's your host, the president of New York's largest independent union, Suffolk AME's Dan Levler.
Welcome to another edition of Suffolk Matters on Walk 97.5 and 94.3 The Shark, where Suffolk County meets the men and women of Suffolk AME. News and views you can't hear anywhere else.
So my guest this morning is Chad Lannan. He is a Suffolk County legislator representing the 6th District. Good morning, and thank you for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So, a lot to dig into, obviously. We want to talk about the work that you do in Suffolk County, some of your history, whatever else. And I think, you know, it's really important for people to get to know you. We have a lot of folks that come in and have, you know, important jobs and responsibilities. Elected office, obviously, you know, responsibilities to taxpayers, the constituents, Suffolk County, all of that. But, you know, it's good to start with a little history, get you know, people to know you. You know, I saw one of the things that you have in your history is some Marine Corps work. My brother, Marine.
Good man.
And, you know, if you meet him as a Marine, you know, that's very different than the brother I know. You know what I mean? And so it's always good to get to know, you know, the person and let people, you know, realize. I don't know if everybody always keeps in mind when they're dealing with elected officials that, you know, you're human beings with lives and families, and we're all, I guess, working for the greater good, but we're people too. So, you know, if we could just jump in a little bit on your background and talk about, you know, some of your history. And, you know, I guess it's worth, since I brought it up already, it's worth talking about the Marine Corps Reserves.
Yeah, so amazingly now, it's 16 years in the Marine Corps. Was 4 years active duty, 2008 to 2012. Mm-hmm. Was stationed at Camp Pendleton in California, deployed to Afghanistan in 2010 as a platoon commander. And one of the issues I've seen that a lot of veterans from this era are dealing with is being exposed to all the burn pits. I've lost two Marines to bone and lung cancer, one who was the gunner in my vehicle, my platoon sergeant, and it's just prevalent. I have another friend on the island who literally worked in the burn pits. There's pictures of him in the black smoke, ended up having a brain tumor, and the VA told him it was not service-connected, but that's a whole other story. But yeah, 2012, I got out of active duty, took a couple months off, transferred to the reserves, been there since, and I've been lucky enough to be a part of a lot of great units. I'm an intel officer, and right now I work at the Pentagon on the National Military Command Center.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, the burn pits is like, that's an issue, and I saw a piece, Like Them or Love Them, John Stewart did a piece on this, and I got some really interesting information from that. People who don't know, basically when deployed overseas, they would just dig a big hole and all the garbage that they had. You know, there's no garbage service for the military per se.
Like you said, it's literally a hole. Yes. But everything you can think of that you flush down a toilet, that you put in the garbage, in recycling, and then just put it on fire.
Yeah. And so that is having an adverse effect on the health of the men and women that went over from, you know, all branches of the military.
Yes. So even civilian contractors, everyone that was there.
Yeah. And so, you know, just getting into your history a little bit more, you've got a law practice. And you know, let's talk a little bit about that.
Sure. So I do military veterans law. Mm-hmm. Also before that, I was the director of the Veterans and Service Members Rights Clinic at Toro Law Center. I was an assistant district attorney for a little bit. And then I also did a little bit of criminal defense down in Maryland. I went to Toro Law Center, graduated from there while I was still a reservist. Before I went into the military, I'm still a union-paid member of Local 14, the operating engineers out of the five boroughs. And I was also an MMA instructor for a few years. And that's a little bit of my background.
Yeah. Well, listen, I mean, these are all, you know, these are big things. But it also, you know, I think it kind of paints the picture of the type of legislator you're going to be. And that's why I think it's important to share this stuff, because sometimes, you know, you can have someone in an elected office and they just come in, they talk about the issues, maybe a particular issue that day, the whole nine, and without some context of the type of human being, you know, you wonder, well, why is this person fighting so fiercely? And I think context matters. You know, so moving into your district, moving into your actual work as a legislator, I like to point out, you know, when you represent a district, the people in the district that elected you and the people in the district that did not elect you are your constituents. You know, doesn't matter which side of the aisle they're on, what their philosophy is, age, race, any, like, no, there's no factor. They're in the district, you represent them. And you represent their interests. Your doors open, your phones are on, and you handle issues for the taxpayers in that area. But in addition to that, you sit on the county legislature, which means, you know, when all of the legislature comes together, you're dealing with some global issues as well, and you have to weigh in on things that affect all of Suffolk County. And I like to just put that in there, you know, just for some context to help everyone understand the scope of the work. You know, you've said some very impressive big things that you've done in your life before becoming a legislator, but that doesn't change, you know, how important the work is you're doing in your district. So let's talk about your district a little bit. What areas does that cover, and what are some of the issues you're facing there?
Sure. So, and you're right. It's an awesome responsibility to be a legislator. And I love how you brought up a taxpayer, because when I talk to people, I say, I'm paying the same taxes you are. Yeah. I see the issues. Yeah. And that's something I think a lot of people lose sight of. Like, oh, you're a legislator, you're elected, you must have all these perks. No, I'm just like everybody else.
Yeah.
And the district, and it doesn't matter who you are or where you're from, I'm willing to work with just about anybody. I'll work with Democrats, Republicans, yep, conservatives, liberals. I don't care. I'll talk to anybody. I want to get as much input as possible. And I said this when I was campaigning. I still say it today. Let me know of issues that you see. Let me know of solutions that you see. And knock on our door, call us, email us. I always say 90% of the time someone is there, because there could be all hands training, somebody's sick, but hey, sure, our door is open. If we don't get back to you right away, we're going to get back to you. Maybe we're looking into your issue.
Right.
And also sometimes people don't understand that we're county level, but I'm not gonna turn someone away for the town issue, state issue, federal issue. I'm gonna help you as much as possible.
Right.
We're going to call that office that would handle that at that level, tell them you're going to be calling, tell you who to call, so this way they get a big jump on whatever the issue may be.
Right.
So I'm in the 6th Legislative District. They changed the lines a little bit, so I have Middle Island, Miller Place, Sound Beach, Mount Sinai, Rocky Point, Upton, Yaphank, Shoreham, a little bit of Coram. So it's a big district. And I think we reached out to the civics, the chambers. There's about 7 different civics.
Right.
We're part of some of the initiatives I wanted to do was get everyone together, mm-hmm, and have like a council of civics, a council of chambers, because a lot of the issues, they don't just end at a border. They're across the different, right, towns, across, it could be across the county. And like you said, it's not just the district, it's the whole county you have to think of. And on top of that, I'm the only veteran on the legislature, so I feel the responsibility to be the voice for veterans too.
Right.
Is a large population of veterans in the state, number 2 in the country in Suffolk,
yeah,
County.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, these are big things. And, you know, it's not a bad idea, you know, when you talk about the concept of bringing together the council of councils, right?
Yes.
Everybody's, you know, kind of affected by universal issues. Mm-hmm. And then there's some specialty stuff, but the specialty stuff, while it only affects maybe a handful of folks in your area, affect other people in Suffolk County as well. So having the ability to sit down in one room and talk about all the issues that are going on, you know, I think that's really important.
And its decisions aren't made in a vacuum, and they affect one group of people.
Right.
There's second and third order effects, and that's why it's important that I hear from everybody, whether it's an organization, an individual, of, hey, we understand this piece of legislation may be coming out. We understand there's this issue. Here's how it's going to affect us. And it's important for me to hear from everyone, because I don't have all the answers. I'm not an expert in everything.
Right.
My background is mostly military, veterans, legal. So if there's an issue with real estate, if there's an issue with something else, I want to hear from you. Oh, sure. Hey, this is an issue that we have. Here's how it's going to affect us. That's great to know, because the more information I have, the better decision I'm going to make.
Yeah, no, it makes a lot of sense. In the legislature, like I said, when all the districts come together, you know, you have a general legislative meeting and you're going to be dealing with things that probably already came through committee and making some universal decisions. But committees are very important also. There's,
yes,
there's a lot of for lack of a better term, grunt work that gets done, mm-hmm, in committee meetings. You know, you get to hear from the public a little bit more in a little bit more of an intimate setting. And you get to have, you know, grander dialogue, so things can move from committee to the general meeting.
Yes.
And so what committees do you sit on, and what are some of your goals there?
So I'm vice chair for the Veterans Committee. Mm-hmm. One of the things I want to do for that is there's so many organizations out there that are sitting by themselves in a vacuum. I want to be able to see us connect, communicate, and collaborate better and bring everyone together. And I think that's a model for everything out there. There's so many organizations, so many resources out there. but it doesn't do well when they're sitting there by themselves. You can have this wonderful resource, but if no one knows about it, what's really going to happen? Not much.
Very true.
I sit on public safety. One thing I ran on was public safety was one of my main objectives. I'm really taking a deep dive into human trafficking. People don't understand human trafficking is such an issue that we've had a human trafficking court in our courts here in Suffolk County.
Yeah.
And it's affected everywhere. Heck, Sound Beach, which is in my district a few years ago, had a on the cover of Newsday about human trafficking.
Right.
So far, we found out a lot of it is from the drug dealers. And a lot of the victims are just Suffolk County residents, too, unfortunately get sucked into drugs. And it could be something as simple as go out, and 99% of the victims are female. Mm-hmm. So a woman goes out, it's a weekend, they're out partying, whether they knowingly or unknowingly take some kind of drugs, and they're in a different mental state. All of a sudden, they could be captured into this. And now, hey, the drug dealer goes, you owe me X amount of money, and they need to work it off for me.
Right.
And now they're stuck in it.
Yep.
And it's a real issue. I believe it's starting even before high school. We need to get the information out there to the parents, to the teachers, of be aware of not just the downfall drugs can have on someone's life, but what else it can lead to.
Right.
We don't have enough police officers. We need to work on that. We need to work on more for our 911 operators, get more out there, because the response time is reactive.
Yeah.
We need to be more proactive, and that's on the entire community working together. Also working on Department of Public Works, transportation, health. So I'm on six committees.
Yeah.
And one thing we also do is have presentations, and I want to do my best effort of getting experts in their organizations to give presentations to the committees to understand, hey, this is what's out there in our community, whether it's in your district or not.
Right. No, that's great. So listen, I mean, you mentioned public safety, and I think right away what comes to mind, rank and file police officer. But public safety, in terms of what the county does, actually encompasses so much more, right? I mean, social services in a way is public safety, health department, DPW.
You hit on two big ones right there. Think about what was on the cover of Newsday, the big issue with Department of Social Services and what happened with the police officer's son.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's a huge piece. Social workers are a big part of helping out our community, especially those who have fallen on hard times. It's people don't understand the work that social workers do.
Right.
Talking about the health, what's out there, Department of Health, and we just went through a pandemic.
Yeah.
We learned a lot of lessons from that.
Oh, sure did.
So we need to make sure our health department is got really good people in there. They're getting the resources they need, because as we've discussed before, it's not just the people, it's the resources, it's the tools.
Yes.
I equate it to a house. We give a good foundation to a house, everything else is going to be great. We give a good foundation to our workers, and we're going to be in a good place.
Yeah. So, you know, I want to touch on a couple of points you made. You know, we talk about social services and some of the things that have happened there and continue to be an area of concern, right? We don't want these really bad things to ever happen again.
Yes.
And then there are still, you know, very difficult things going on where folks are looking to receive benefits, but there's a backlog. Mm-hmm. And so that immediately brings to mind for me, you know, looking back at last year's budget from the last administration, you know, passing forward to the current administration, 2,280 vacant positions, almost 600 of those out of social services. So it's from my perspective, it's not that these workers aren't doing an amazing job. It's that there aren't enough of them.
Overworked.
And part of the problem is also, you know, some of the work rules, it makes it difficult for people to necessarily want to take on extra responsibility and spend extra time at work. And then on top of that, when you try to hire, there are issues in hiring that relate back to just the basic reason why most people get a job, right? It's healthcare and it's compensation, right? You know, there's all sorts of reasons to have a job, but you know, these are big things that you're looking for personally for your family. And time to time, government has to adjust. Markets change. Things happen over time, and you know, so we're really excited to work with the legislature, yourself, and the administration, and look at all of the job functions and make informed decisions, apples to apples, as best as possible. You know, when there's a particular job function that's difficult to fill, and let's use the example of a clerical title, right? Mm-hmm. It's very hard to fill, and that's because, again, apples to apples, you know, towns, villages, different, you know, school districts, all of this stuff, they have that same function in their world,
But it pays $15,000-$20,000 more.
Yes, and money's money's not always the bottom line, but for some people it is. But it is also a major factor, especially living in Suffolk County. Again, I pay the same taxes as everybody else. It's it's expensive to live here, and AMA, you're the union that takes care of Suffolk County. And what do we need to do as leaders? One of the first lessons in leadership is take care of those who take care of you.
Yeah.
And if we don't have the personnel, we're setting ourselves up for failure. It goes back to the foundation.
Right.
So we need to we need to take a look at how are we compensating. Now, maybe we get halfway there with the salary, but maybe we do something with the benefits. Maybe there's something else. And that's part of everything is let's look at everything that's here. What can we bring to the table?
The idea is to be competitive, right?
Yes.
To make it so that, and you know, giving the example of office assistants again, last year, I think it was in excess of 1,300 people who had taken their own time, spent their own money to take a civil service test, passed the test and were reachable so they could be hired. Letters went out to about 1,300 of them. Two responded, zero showed up to work, right? And that becomes a problem. Like, it exacerbates up the line, right?
Yes,
because now those clerical functions have to be done anyway.
Falls on somebody.
But the people aren't there, so now it's the people who had, you know, higher responsibilities now have to backfill. And so how do they get all their work done and someone else's job done in the same work week? So, you know, again, I think it's really important. I want to reiterate, I'm excited to work with you guys, you know, both on the administration side and on the legislature side to find, you know, that fair compromise, right? So that, that the county can be competitive, that we get good people in these jobs and we keep them.
Yeah, and it's, you know, having a legal background, understanding negotiations and, you know, everyone's got to give, everyone's got to, you know, understand they're going to get and they're going to lose something. But the bottom line is when we come together and go, okay, is this best for everybody involved? Not involved with those negotiations,
right.
But just from my experience of seeing what's out there. And, you know, like I said, I've been a union member. I still pay my dues for Local 14, just the negotiations that go on there. You want to do what's right for everybody. And like you said, what's going to happen to that performance of everyone who all those additional responsibilities fall on? It's a cascading effect of, okay, their performance is going to go down. Our performance is going to slow down.
Right.
And it's not because of the individual. It's the workload.
Yeah.
And we see this everywhere of so many folks losing jobs, the workload's getting higher, more stress. You know, we need to do a little better. And then maybe there's something we need to look at too with the process of the civil service exam. How do we expedite this? Because working in government, I see the same thing through USA Jobs is it takes like a year, if not longer, to go through that process. And people get jobs. They're not going to sit around for a year waiting.
Of course. Well, so there's that aspect of it, which I think is very important for people to understand. Yeah, you know, there are good government jobs out there, but it takes time to get that job. So you need another job while you wait to get the job. And then on the other side of it, you know, there's basically some common sense. I think private sector gets this really great. And I think for some reason on the government side, we're just not good at this. And it's that initial touch of like, hey, are you interested in working for the government? And so, you know, let's say you have an interest. So you go onto the civil service website and you look at what exams are out there and you pull it up and it reads like the law department is warning you of everything bad that's going to happen. I mean, that language should be there, but it should probably start out with, you know, what the job looks like, what the pay is going to look like, what the future is going to look like. Right. Because if you take a starting position, well, you know, you may start at, let's say, 45,000. Let's call it, just picking a number. Mm. But that career path may promote up to 90, 100, you know, whatever the number is, but that's not spelled out.
Yeah, setting the expectations.
Right. And then on top of that, there's so many great things that government does for its employees that we don't need to necessarily fix, but we should advertise. We should talk about, you know, the benefits that are you know, built into the job. You know, the difference between, for me, the difference between public sector work and private sector work is that public contract, right? And it's this unspoken thing where, you know, you're going to give of your time and your efforts, just like anyone with a job would do, right? Trading time for money as the concept goes, but you're doing it on behalf of the residents. And in exchange for you giving your time and your money and putting your effort in life to better other people, there is some protections built in. You know, you get a 30-year career, but you know there's going to be money for you at the end so that you'll be okay in retirement.
And that's why a lot of people took government jobs. It was, look at the benefits. Maybe I'm not getting as much money in the private sector, but the benefits package is great. you know what your hours are, you know what you're getting out of it. Private sector is you could be working 12, 15-hour days. And it depends on what everyone wants. Everyone wants something different. If you like your roads, thank you for fixing our roads.
Yeah.
Do you like someone answering the phone? Thank you for answering our phones. And that's why these jobs are so important. It's the infrastructure that people don't think of daily that really makes their lives run effectively.
Yeah. And it's, I think an altruistic person by nature that's attracted to these types of jobs, right? The government doesn't pay as well as maybe the private sector does, but the sense of doing something good for you, for the larger community really is an attractor there.
Yeah, and I think it's people who work for government have a sense of community and wanting to support and help others.
Yeah, we see it in our membership. A lot of our members are, little league coaches, volunteer firemen, all of what they fill the rest of their life with is community.
Yes.
Right? They are just by nature, they're give back people, and that's something that we want to, cultivate and we want to attract and we want to keep. And all of my efforts need to be pointed in that direction. And I guess it should be no surprise when we talk about, work life and what that means, I'm going to have a bunch to say about that. Right. I have conversations with people all the time. I even referenced it a little bit just a few moments ago when we talk about trading time for money. But the way I look at it, it's maybe even a little different than that, right? That whole concept of working anywhere. We say trading time for money, but it's in a way it's trading who you are going to be for who you have to be, right? You could be a really great painter, but you got to pay the bills.
Yes.
And so you paint as a hobby because, full time, you've got to take care of your family. You've got to put food on the table. You've got to look after people's needs and the whole nine.
Yeah, bottom line is you got to make money at the end of the day to survive.
Sure,
Like you said, you have those hobbies and maybe that's your second job. But at the meantime, the same thing with people going to college. Well, if you major in basket weaving, there's not many jobs there.
Right.
But if you major in something like accounting or business or education, and then you could also do the basket weaving.
Right.
But then you set yourself up and
And that's, what I mean to say is that's a trade-off for everybody.
Yes.
Private sector, public sector, there's no difference there. People, I think the best way for me to put it in my level of understanding is you're trading who you wanted to be for who you have to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
And with that said, the trade-off there is, you have money, you can keep the lights on, you can feed, and for government, that's just as true. Like we say, we're looking at a different population of people that are attracted to these jobs and want to do these jobs. And, you say, again, mentioning public safety, it is a unique person who wants to be a police officer, right?
Yeah, and I think for the individuals too, you got to make sure you're a good match. And that's why it's important to put those expectations like we set out there, because if I go into a job thinking it's one thing and it's not, well, that relationship's going to dissolve quickly. But understanding here's my job, here's what I'm going to get from it, here's where I can go, I think I'm a good match for that. And that gets that first step going.
Yeah, yeah. And so, again, reiterating, government has to get a little bit more private sector in the sense of setting those expectations up front. Here's what the job actually is.
Yeah, and I think that's where you get a good blend of private and public coming together and go, okay, these are some good ideas. And I always say, let's look around the county, the state, the country, the world, what's worked well, what hasn't worked. And then we can apply that to ourselves here.
Absolutely. And that brings us, I guess, full circle back to your concept of committee of committees,
yes.
or a council of councils. We bring all of these different groups together. And the reason why I wanted to kind of tie that thread together, I don't know how well I did with it, but I wanted to tie that thread together, is that's essentially your job, right?
Yes.
At the end of the day, you need to see people, you need to talk to people, you need to understand all of these different issues, whether they're, working, not working, working private, working public, any walk of life, anything, right? You've got to take all of this data in because that then informs your decision. When you're sitting down and you're saying, okay, we're going to create some regulations here in Suffolk County, I don't know if the Hippocratic Oath quite applies, first do no harm. We could think of examples in government.
It absolutely should apply.
It should. But you want to make sure that you're doing the most good. I think that's the best way to say it.
Absolutely.
When we're making changes, we want to make the changes that create the most good for the most amount of people.
I want to make people's lives better today than they were yesterday, make them better tomorrow than they are today. And really, at the end of the day, I've constantly said, as an elected official, no matter where, you need to have the ability to put a foundation out there for people to succeed in their lives and their businesses.
Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned elected official again, and I want to touch on that, too. And I don't want to get too much into the hot button, you know, especially, you know, on the federal level and whatever else. But I see a politician as some of those characters you see out there. They're constantly in the paper. They're constantly on the news. They're constantly, you know, screaming and yelling about mm-hmm. one thing or another. But when it comes time to examine their record, what have they done? You know, well, they've been at a lot of, you know, press releases.
A lot of people like to hear themselves speak. End of the day, actions speak louder than words. Yeah. And just look at the actions people take. A lot of folks will say, I'm quiet. Yeah, I am mostly quiet. I'll speak when I have something to say. Mm-hmm. But I also want to take in, we have two ears, one mouth for a reason.
Yeah.
Listen to twice as much as you speak, and you'll learn a lot more. And you'll be better at your job.
No, and that's, to me, that's the distinction between a politician and an elected official. You know, I think I'm definitely a guy who believes that words matter. And when I reference someone as a politician, I'm speaking about, you know, let's call it a talking head, someone that's out there and making a show and definitely getting the headlines and everything else. But an elected official looks a lot more like you, somebody that served their country, someone that served their community, that's constantly putting themselves in positions to help the most amount of people and dedicating themselves now in this phase of your life, you know, sitting down and dedicating yourself to not just your district, but the community at large. And that community at large includes the working people that provide the core services that everyone relies on, right? Government provides these basic services that everyone relies on, and your constituents, whether they live in the district or not, because of your role, they are also the employees.
Yes, I have that responsibility for the district, but it's the entire county. We all have that. That is an awesome responsibility. I think the word is awesome is the right word for that.
Sure.
And we need to take that seriously and understand that we need to take a step back sometimes and go, okay, am I making the right decision here? And bounce ideas. And I always do that with my staff. I got a great staff. I'm very lucky with the people I have in my office. Mm-hmm. How's this idea sound? I'm thinking about this. What do you think?
Right.
And that's the way to do it because, again, we don't have all of the decisions and we rely on people.
Right.
We rely on the organizations. Give us that input. Where are those studies to look at? What are you hearing? How can I help you?
Right.
The bottom line, at the end of the day, my job is, and I ask you, how do I help you? How do I help your people?
Yeah, that's excellently said. So listen, I don't always get the opportunity, but when I do, I like to, you know, I run through all the questions that I have. And if I have a little time, I like to ask, is there anything that we didn't touch on today that you like to talk about? Sometimes, you know, we find that while, you know, I have an objective and a goal and things of interest that I want to, you know, get out to the public, I miss the opportunity to hear about the things that maybe are pressing on your end. So is there anything that we didn't touch on this morning that you'd like to bring up?
I think everything's been out there. Look, we're out there. We're in the office. Call us, knock on our door, email us. We're here to help. Whatever the issues may be, we try to provide services to the district. I invite everyone to come in. You know, one idea I have is let's try to do an astronomy night. Go to a heritage park and, you know, we'll talk to like Stony Brook, Suffolk Community College, all the different colleges, astronomy programs. Maybe we could do something like that. Those are ideas that I have. And if someone else has ideas, hey, I was thinking about doing this. What's your thoughts on this? Oh, that's a great idea. Or I don't know about that. But here's my concerns. Alleviate the concerns. And that's why I'm here.
Bringing people together. And I think, you know, again, another full circle deal, you know, with this idea of Council of Councils, you know, we have so much more in common than we have differences. And society, generally speaking, we tend to focus on differences. And the facts of the matter
is, it's very divisive now. Look at the federal side. It is.
Yeah.
But, you know, I said it before, I may be Republican, conservative,
mm-hmm.
but the bottom line of the day, I think about one party, that the only party that matters is the American party. What's right for all of us?
Sure. Oh, I agree. So my guest this morning, Chad Lennon, 6th District, Suffolk County Legislature, and I want to thank you again. I know how busy you are, how active you are, and all the things you do. So I thank you for coming in, sharing some time with us. I also want to thank you, you know, and again, in advance even, for the conversations we're going to have as things progress in Suffolk County. You know, we're going to weigh in on issues that affect the workforce and provide the services to everybody in Suffolk County. And you know, that open door policy really means something, and it means something to my members.
Absolutely. I look forward to those conversations, and thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
To our listeners, we'll speak to you next week.